Let us all say amen and want to thank all those that have preceded me on this afternoon, those that I offered prayers to the Lord on our behalf, those that led us in various parts of worship, scripture reading, and communion, and also for our song that was led in our service for our King. That's the purpose for our assembling this afternoon, that we may worship God in spirit and in truth. Luke wrote in Acts 2:42 and 47, the Bible teaches us there are five acts to worship God, and we want to participate in those things that we find in Scripture, that we may be well-pleasing unto God. So again, I want to thank you for making the decision to be with us on this afternoon to hear another portion of God's word that we can apply to our lives, that we can be more faithful while in this life we live. And if you're on the call this afternoon, you've been invited by someone, and you're not a member of the Church of Christ. We don't want that to continue. We want you to become a member of the Lord's Church. It's my responsibility at the close of this message to share with you specifically what God has required an individual that is at the age of accountability to do in order to become a child of God. So this afternoon, we are connecting our lesson from this morning, and we're looking at the one verse that was read in your hearing, where Paul reminded those of Corinth, let all things be done decently and in order. So we want to speak a few moments on that thought on this afternoon. Let all things be done decently and in order. So Paul here in his letter to the Corinthians, in his first letter to them, we find that in verse number 26 of 1 Corinthians, we find the issue there. Paul said to them, wrote to them in verse number 26 of 1 Corinthians 14, how is it then, brethren, when you come together, everyone of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. To Paul was sharing with them, when you come together to worship God, he said, let all things be done in order to build one up. And so Paul then, and we'll pick up then in verse number 37 of that one to establish the fact that this message Paul was saying to them was about their worship service. And so Paul said, beginning at verse number 37, he says, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. They still had back then in the first century those that were prophets. And he said that if any of you think yourself, we today, we want to be spiritual. Paul says here, let him acknowledge that the things I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. Yeah, let me say this to all of us. When we, and I'm talking to myself also, when we accept and obey the commandments of God as shown in the scriptures. This is how one can test their spirituality. When I read from the Word of God and I understand what the Word of God says, I accept it and then I obey it. That tells me that I am growing in my spirituality, especially those things that I find difficult for me to accept, difficult for me to do. When I grow and I humble myself to the Word of God and I obey the same, again, that's how one can test their spirituality. So Paul let them know that. And then we find, let us turn to confirm what Paul said about those things I write are the commandments of the Lord. In Peter's writing, in 2 Peter chapter number 1, 2 Peter chapter number 1. Now I want to begin at verse number 17 to open up this thought that Peter wrote unto them. It says in 2 Peter 1:17, Peter says, "For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Peter here was talking about Jesus. He said in the previous verse that he was an eyewitness of his majesty. And he said that Christ was received, had received from God the Father both honor and glory. And then God made the statement, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. So now Peter now is reflecting on that time when Jesus was assembled with them and he heard the voice of God. The voice of God saying to them, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." That's Matthew chapter number 17 and the verse number 5. When Peter is talking about that event, he going back and remembering he heard a voice from heaven while they was with Jesus on the mount. And then Peter says, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts." Peter said, "We got a more sure word of prophecy." And Peter said, "It'll do you well if you take heed to what I'm saying, or what we say. It's like a light that is shining in a dark place." He said, "Allow it to shine in your hearts." He said, "Knowing this first," verse 20, "that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation." In other words, no man that wrote Scripture wrote what they wanted to write. It was not private. It was not that man that wrote it. He said, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So Peter was confirming. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 14. Peter was confirming also what Paul wrote to the Corinthians. You need to acknowledge, he told them, that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. And so Peter, when he wrote his second letter, he let those readers know, those Christians know, that the things that those holy men of God spake, those were the things that they were given by the Holy Ghost. That's why they are inspired writers of the Word of God. Yeah. So again, we said this morning that we get our authority either from the Godhead or from those men that was inspired, as Paul is writing here, inspired of God, led by the Holy Spirit to write those things down. And it's our responsibility that we accept and obey those things that are given to us by the Lord. And so Peter says, Paul says in back in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 38, but if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. See, we can be without understanding. Yeah, we can not have an understanding. But it's our responsibility to study God's word, and that we are able not to be ignorant. And so Paul addressed that in Romans chapter number 10, when he was concerned about those his own countrymen. In Romans 10, when he said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. So again, a simple definition of the word ignorant can be in verse 3, can be found in verse 2, when we don't have knowledge, when we're lacking knowledge, as Paul said to them, but not according to knowledge. When you lack knowledge, you are ignorant. So what we want to do is to get understanding, because Paul says, if you are ignorant of God's righteousness, if you're not careful, you will go about and establish your own righteousness, and you have not submitted yourself unto the righteousness of God. So Paul says, verse 39, wherefore, brethren, he said, you can covet to prophecy and forbid not to speak in tongues. Well, Paul was saying, you can have a desire for those, if it be upper level of gifts. You know, Paul talked about that in 1 Corinthians 12, about those gifts that the Lord, the Holy Spirit, has given in 1 Corinthians 12, beginning at verse number 8 through verse number 10, those nine gifts. Well, Paul said, you can desire those things, but the greater is those that have the lesser, and that I humble myself simply to serve God. I don't not necessarily, Paul was telling them, have to be desirous of those gifts. And then he closes my sermon title for this afternoon, He says, let all things be done decently and in order. Paul was saying to them, and they replied, we can make application today. When we assemble to worship God, Paul says, first thing, let all things be done decently. Paul was telling them that when we assemble to worship God, we should do it appropriately and in the proper manner. That's what the word decently means. Appropriately and in the proper manner. But then he also tells them, also, let all things be done in order. Order meaning the way that things are organized for a particular purpose or activity. When we assemble to worship God, yeah, it ought to be organized. It's also the way that things are arranged. You know, we have worship service. It's not only appropriately done, it's also in the proper manner, and it is organized. Yeah, we have an order in which we worship God. Paul says to us that all things be done decently and in order. Because if it is not done, we can have disorder in our worship to God and in our service to God when things are not done in order. We get our order from the Word of God. That's where we get it. Yeah. Paul, even an example in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Notice it. Watch the order now. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I'm going to start at verse number 27, 1 Corinthians 12, 27. Paul said, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. And God has set some in the church. First, there were apostles. He says, secondarily, prophets. Thirdly, you had teachers. He said, after that, miracles. Then, gifts of healing, health, governments, and diversities of tongues. All those things were done in order and were necessary for the furtherance of the Lord's church there in Corinth. So again, we serve a God of order. So let us do all things decently and in order. And speaking of order, if you're on the phone call this afternoon and you're not a Christian, there is an order that God has for one to become a Christian. That order has five steps to it. The first step is one must hear the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, talks about three facts. Jesus Christ died for our sins. He was buried in a tomb. He rose again the third day, never to die again. That's the first thing that one must do in order. Secondly, one must believe that. Yeah, that's why John, when he wrote in John chapter number 20, and the verse is number 31, John made the point to say, these things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ. You believe that Jesus is Christ because you can read it in the Holy Word of God. After I believe What's written? I must repent of my sins. The lifestyle you've been living has been away from God. Why? Because you don't have God in your life at this time. One must repent. That means to turn toward God and away from life you've been living. Fourthly, according to Acts 8:37, you make the confession that the eunuch made, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So the order is, I hear the gospel, I believe the gospel, I repent of my sin, I confess Christ to be the Son of God, and then I am water baptized in water for the remission of all my past sins. And the Lord then will add me to the church of Christ, the only church you can read about in the Bible. If someone that's subject to an invitation, have the one that invited you on the call to reach out to us, or to me, and we'll make it happen that you can be added to the Lord. I thank you this afternoon for your listening ear. Thank you very much.